0% has got to go.
I want to let people know that the fourth floor Hunter Hall is open available. We do have to respect the fire marshal limitation on the number of people here. So please be seated. If in fact you have somebody who's who is hoping to speak or wants to speak, be sure that they're here. Even if they're upstairs, they can bring the cards down. We have cards available. And we're hoping to avail ourselves of all your public comment time.
This is a special meeting of the Oakland Board of Education, April 21st, 6 p.m.
So what I'll do is say,
Director Spearman,
awesome.
Are you ready to begin?
Yes, sir.
Could you please do the roll call, Ms. Floyd?
On the roll call, Student Director Adams, Student Director Sims, Director London,
here.
Director Takashita,
here.
Director Hodge,
present.
Director Dio,
here.
Director Spearman,
present.
Vice President Dobbin, President Yi,
here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Before we begin the business of this special meeting, I want to let people know again on the record that the Hunter Hall is available for people to view. We have a fire marshal limit in this room of 159 people, and we'd like to respect that. Also, we request if you want to speak on items 1, 2, or 3, that you complete your cards at the appropriate time. And that because this is a special meeting, we do not have public comment on non-agenda items, so please keep to the agenda. We do have a chair up here because we're asking that the audience please respect the podium and the stage. And if you have a card that you'd like to submit, submit them either to Mr. Howe on the on your right or Ms. Miner on your left. I fully intend for us to have a full and complete hearing and discussion, especially of item 2. On each of these items, I will ask staff or general counsel to give us a brief review of the item. I will then ask for public comment. We'd like to keep the public comment, as I said, on the agenda item, and we'd like to keep it to 1 hour. So the item I believe most people will want to refer to is item 2, 10-0730, and by a common agreement with the superintendent and with my colleagues, we'd like to keep that public comment time to 1 hour. So we'll be keeping track of how many cards we have. At the end of that hour, I will ask my colleagues on the board if they want to continue a public comment or move straight to the discussion. So we are prepared if there are 30 comment cards to allocate 2 minutes per comment, per speaker. If there's 40, a minute and a half per speaker up to the hour. Okay? So I'd like to entertain the first item, 10-0728, District and Oakland Education Association, confirmation of receipt of report and recommendation of fact-finding panel issued April 13th, 2010. Do I have a motion to adopt?
Second.
Thank you. Before we have speaker cards on this item, I'd like to ask General Counsel Minor to give us a brief introduction of the fact-finding, the procedures involved with fact-finding, and the circumstances behind receiving this report.
Certainly, President Dean, Vice President Dobbin, Superintendent, and members of the board, I've been asked just to provide a quick overview, essentially, on where we stand procedurally. The district declared the first impasse on June 29, 2009, after more than a year of bargaining with OEA. When impasse was declared, PERB assigned a neutral mediator from the state mediation service to facilitate talks between the district and OEA. When there was insufficient movement between the parties to reach a settlement, in December of 2009, the mediator certified the parties to the final step in the PERB impasse resolution process. That process is called fact-finding. The fact-finding panel is composed of three individuals, one selected by OEA, one selected by the district, and a neutral who is the chairperson of the panel. The panel held a hearing over a two-day period in February. On April 13th, the panel issued its recommendations for settlement. The panel's recommendations are advisory only. 10 calendar days after receipt of the recommendations for settlement, the employer, in this case the district, must make the panel's recommendations public. During the 10-day period, the district and OEA are required by law to make one final attempt to settle the dispute. This meeting occurred on Friday, February 16th. Because no settlement has been reached, the district, under law, as the employer, has a right to unilaterally implement its last, best, and final offer, and the bargaining unit, of course, has the right to take concerted action.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any speakers on this item, Mr. Estrada?
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, we have approximately 10 speaker cards on this item.
Okay, great. Would you please call those 10 speakers, and I'd like to allocate 2 minutes per speaker.
All right. Jim Mordecai, David Coker, Betty Olson Jones, Kathy Mahoney, Ward Brownsley, Craig Gordon, Ben Zisnick, Tanya Kaplan, Jennifer Bruhart, and Jack Gerson.
Thank you. And just a reminder, this is on the receipt of the fact finder's report.
My name is Jim Mordecai. I am a retired Oakland teacher. I'm currently a substitute teacher in Oakland. And that's part of the interest that brings me here.
I'm trying to get it.
Size minutes again, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Minutes is not that hard.
Okay.
Will the technicians in the control booth please turn on the mic at the public speaker stadium?
The mic is on here.
Okay, I'll just go on with my statement. I introduce myself as to who I am. And what my interest is that this district come to the bargaining table and negotiate with the teachers. As I use the Pathfinder's report as a basis of a settlement. I'm also a property owner in Oakland, and I'm concerned about something which isn't covered in the fact finder's report, and that is that the fact finder received a binder, according to the fact finder report, that he received a binder chock full of specific instances where in the past the district hasn't spent the money appropriately. It's misspent money. My concern is that that misspending is continuing. And as long as you continue to do the same thing, you're going to get the same result instead of having money available to provide the proper money to the employees. You have to stop misspending money. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, Superintendent Smith, President Yee, members of the board, and the audience. I'm Betty Olson Jones, president of the Open Education We waited a long time. It's been 2.5 years of bargaining. We waited a long time for the fact-finding report. It's not perfect, but we agree with our member of the fact-finding panel that it provides a solid foundation, a starting floor from going back to bargaining. We were shocked when we went and met with the superintendent and with Troy Christmas and Vernon Howe on Friday, and were asked, do you accept the district's last best final offer? Said, absolutely not. And then we were told, there is no basis for bargaining. There is no basis for bargaining. This is in a district that has seen 6 years of state takeover, in a district that has seen more than its share of disrespect to teachers. We were shocked and we continue to be really outraged. This fact-finding report was completely agreed to by the district's member of the fact-finding panel, Ron Bennett, who is not a stranger to districts. He is a conservative, fiscal conservative, who knows his stuff. He advises districts throughout the state. He completely recommended, he said, I agree with the chair's findings and recommendations and believe it is in the best interest of the parties to adopt the settlement recommended in this report. Our member of the panel said, although I do not agree specifically with all of the chair's findings and recommendations, nor do I support his rationale in all respects, I believe this report and its recommendations provide a solid foundation for the parties to settle this dispute in the best interest of the parties and the students and citizens of Oakland. This dispute needs to end. We need a fair settlement. We cannot continue to be the lowest paid teachers in all of Alameda County. That is simply unfair.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, President, Superintendent, members of the board, and staff. My name is Ben Bismuth, and I'm a history teacher at Oakland High, and so I have some historical information for you and the public. In 2006, we had a fact-finding report, and the district dissented from it. And Ron Bennett was the person who dissented from it. And yet, even though the district dissented from that fact-finding report, they still bargained with us, and we were able to reach a settlement at the 11th hour. Now, that same district representative, Ron Bennett, very well-paid representative of school service, agrees with the fact-finder in 2010. And so what does the district say? We do not accept the opinion of our own fact-finder. There's something wrong with this picture. So what is going on? It's really not so much about the money, in my opinion. It's a political move to attack not only the OEA, because unprecedented, this is an unprecedented vote you're taking right now. I've been here since 1977. Never have you voted to impose a contract. So you need to know by your vote, you are declaring war, not only on the OEA, but on the classified unions and the whole labor movement of Alameda County and the state of California. I'll have more to say later. But if you do vote to impose, there'll be more people running for the school board besides myself in the fall. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Kathy Mahoney, and I'm a 4-5 combination teacher at Redwood Heights Elementary School. I currently have 32 students in my class. I'm speaking because when I read this fact-finding report and printed it out today, I was shocked. I was reading on page 13. After adjusting for each district's contribution to health care benefits, Oakland's compensation is the lowest in almost every cell on the salary schedule. How are we going to recruit and keep the best possible teachers for our students here in Oakland who deserve the best? First and second year teachers, look at that. They're going to go to San Francisco and Hayward and New Haven and any place else they can. So it says the district spends a smaller proportion of its expenses on teacher salaries than comparable districts in Alameda County among similar districts statewide. And the proportion of district expenses spent on teacher salaries actually declined from 2002 to 2007. So I was also shocked to read that you're proposing cutting non-instructional days and calling it a pay raise. Mm. We are hundreds of hours for free, setting up our classrooms at the beginning of the school year, cleaning up at the end of the school year, doing grades, doing report cards, planning work, and then you're going to cut those days that we need to prepare and give us zero money for that. And expect us to work it for free and call it a pay raise? Sorry. So I think it is time right now to make a change here and say we want what is best for the kids of Oakland. We need to pay our teachers. They need a raise. We need to negotiate and make a fair settlement. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Tanya Kapner. I'm a teacher, OEA Executive Board, and I work with BAM Civil Rights Group. And I agree with that sign. There's something wrong here. Highest paid superintendent and state trustee still trying to hold the purse strings all these years later, and we're the lowest paid? The facts are, this fact-finding report even admits, which this fact-finding report is certainly not made by some radical, certainly more conservative than what the majority of this community feels in its strong defense of public education. The facts are, our students deserve class size reduction. We all know it, the community knows it, it's in that report that Roe Clinton signed on to at first, and now you're trying to say, no, no, we're not going to negotiate any of this, such as class size. The facts are we need a raise. The facts are that we're standing up here and we're going on strike next Thursday because we can't take these cuts to our students. We're not going to take it. Our students deserve better. We've been fighting for that for years. You need to get on board and come up with the money, which certainly even this conservative or neutral fact finder thinks can be done for us and for our students. Classrooms first, we mean it. That's what we mean when we're on the picket line next Thursday. That's what parents mean when they're on the picket line with us next Thursday with their young people, with the students that are standing up with us. That's what this community meant when it stood up on March 4th. In this context of the attack on public education, and the attack on every young person's right to a quality public education, we're standing up to make a change. And we're gonna hold the line, and we're gonna fight for what our students deserve and what we deserve. You need to negotiate using that report as a basic bare bottom floor, because we're not zeros, we don't deserve a 0% pay raise, and it's clear we need class size reduction. That's what our strike in 96 won for the whole state. So if they could find the money then, they can find the money now. It's a question of priorities. The Central Labor Council of Alameda County has unanimously recommended a strike sanction. The unions are standing together to fight for our rights with this community. We Thank need a real you. Raise and class size reduction. Give us a good Thank contract you. Now.
My name is Jennifer Grohart. I'm the site rep at Glenview Elementary School, and I speak for our other teachers who are here today from Glenview. And the call from our meeting yesterday was get back to the table. That we expected a real negotiating session after we read that fact-finding tour. So again, from our teachers at Glenview, get back to the table. The other demand from our teachers at Glenview is pay our new teachers a living wage. We have new teachers at our school. I live with a new teacher. And if we are going to attract and support and keep the new energy that we need to have to keep some of what you were talking about Saturday, Superintendent Smith. I mean, it was the community-based schools, new energy, looking at our students as whole students. It was a great thing to hear. We need to pay the new teachers to keep them, to attract them, and to support our new teachers. Thank you.
Thank you. Jack Gerson, I teach at Castlemont High School, leadership prep. I'm on the OEA bargaining team. 7 years ago, this district was put under state control. School board lost its power, became strictly advisory. Although governance has been returned, control over financial, all financial questions, is subject to veto by the state trustee, who used to be the state administrator. Now, I find it strange, many of us do, that in the fact-finding report, Ron Bennett, who is the state expert on budget management from the on budgets and school finances from the management side, who gave a tutorial here in August to the school board, I was in the audience, and people treated him as though he were the world's expert on it. Now, Ron Bennett signed uncritically, not unconditionally. Ron Bennett's signature says this school district can pay for at least what's in the fact-finding report. We think it can pay for more, and we think he wouldn't have signed it if he couldn't. So we want to know why 3 days later, we're told that the district wants to impose. One hypothesis is that this is coming from Sacramento, that it's coming from Jack O'Connell, where Randolph Ward and Kim Statham and Vince Matthews came from, that this is being imposed on us from above. And we think that this school board needs to stand up and say that control has been returned to the school board, now assert that control. Now say, we're not going to let this be imposed. You know, I was looking today, I was looking over.
My name is David Cloker. I teach first grade. I'd like to yield.
You cannot yield your time, I'm afraid, but that's not within our rules.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Griffin, Mr. Griffin, in item number three.
Rules. Well, see what you're doing.
With my time, then, I guess I'd just like to make a couple of observations. I'm not fortunate enough to have a union that helps fight for my wages. I'm a charter school teacher in North Oakland, and what I do know is that this helps set the standard for all the teachers everywhere, and I'm facing the reality of going on my third year now without any pay increase, and I'll tell you that the work I'm being asked to do is not any less than it has been, and it's more. Every year there's more expectations in terms of testing that we're supposed to do. There's more expectations in terms of curriculum, and I'm not necessarily objecting to that, but I certainly am objecting to a constant pressure of pushing down on what I'm getting compensated for and pushing up on the expectations of what I'm asked to do. And what it really comes down to is that if you have a 0% pay increase, that's a pay cut. Basic economics is that there is inflation, and that if you don't give teachers at least a 3% raise every year, they're losing ground. And my question is, at what point do we start having to push Walmart-type tactics on teachers and figuring out how to get them on the public dole for basic services like healthcare and food so that they can teach? I'm not asking to be a millionaire. I don't have any desire to be rich, but I do want to continue to be able to live in Oakland. I do want to continue to be a teacher. And it's because I'm building relationships. It's because I'm getting to know my community. And I want to keep doing that. But if the pressure is that we're going to keep pushing down the wages and pushing down the wages, at some point I'll say, I can't afford to do this.
Hello, Craig Gordon. I teach at Paul Robeson High School, OEA Executive Board. You know, I want to bring out a few of the facts that the fact finder highlighted that are worth paying attention to. One is that, and some of them are in error, but they still bring out some basic points. One is, and this is one of the misconceptions. He says that the district received a $100 million loan back in, I believe, 2003. That is actually not correct. The district received a line of credit of $100 million. The state then borrowed more than, you know, well over what the district borrowed originally and doubled the amount that the district was in debt. Now the state wants us to pay back what it actually borrowed. That's one. The fact finder also noted the ease of going through the district budget and picking out where simple reductions in central office administration, staff, consultants, and fatty contracts amount to money that can be reallocated. The district seems to be continuing to refuse to look at this. Unfortunately, again, the fact finder understates it and says that several million. We've identified tens of millions of dollars that can be reallocated. But again, it does make an important point that the district seems to be continuing to ignore. He also points out that OUSD is lowest in compensation but near the top in one category, superintendent salary. He also calls supports our demand for limiting class size and maintaining a lid on the growth of, on supporting class size reduction. And the district's refusal to bargain these demands that we know that community supports is a slap in the face, not only to Oakland teachers, but to the entire community. And we know that on April 29th, you're going to find the community's response to this stance. And at that point, we expect that you will reevaluate.
Thank you very much.
All right, Ward.
President Yee, members of the board, and Superintendent Smith, let me introduce myself. I am Ward Roundtree, and I am the proud appointed fact-finding panel member with the Oakland Education Association. Before I was a union representative, I also was a reading specialist. And so I found the reading of your resolution very interesting. But in the future, before you put my name into a resolution to try to ascribe meaning to what I have said or written, I would hope that whomever is writing said resolution would ask me what I said or meant or am saying. It might be to some media advantage that you indicated that I dissented from the fact-finding report, but that is not what I did. Let me read to you some of my concluding statement, since the president of the OEA already has read you what I said. I believe this report and its recommendations provide a solid foundation for the parties to settle this dispute in the best interests of the parties and the students and the citizens of Oakland. I believe the fact-finding process worked. Nowhere in my reading or meaning of what I wrote will you find or be inclined to suggest that I dissented from this report. So please, at a minimum, correct your misinterpretation of my position on this report. I have cards on the other three items, Mr. Yee, and I can finish my remarks so I don't have
to really come on the back. Up at the other appropriate time. That would work just fine, Mr. Lloyd.
I'd rather finish them now. If
no, I'd rather have you just do it at the appropriate time. Thank you. Because I'm sure you'll have much to say on items 2 and 3. I'd like to get the next speaker so we can move on to it. So if it's possible, Mr. Rothstein, we can have Mr. Rothstein.
Let it be clear.
Let's move on to
the next time, before you put my name in a resolution, would you make sure that somebody talks to me first?
Okay, thank you. Is there any discussion from my board colleagues on this item? If not, then with the concurrence of my colleagues on the board, let's close this item and take the vote.
Director London?
Yes.
Director Takashima?
Yes.
Director Hobbs?
Yes.
Director Gallos?
Yes.
Director Spearman?
Yes.
Vice President Dobbin?
Yes.
President Yee?
Yes.
The motion is adopted.
Thank you. We can now move on to item 10-0730, the collective bargaining agreement, adoption by Board of Education of Resolution 0910-0229. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, Mr. Richter, for clarity, could you please read this resolution into the record?
Resolution of the Board of Education of the Elko Unified School District, Resolution Number 0910-0229. The title is Implementing Contract Changes and Collective Bargaining Agreement between the Elko Unified School District and Oakland Education Association, OEA. Whereas the Oakland Unified School District and the Oakland Education Association commenced full contract negotiations in February of 2008 on a successor contract to the agreement then scheduled to expire on June 30th, 2008. And whereas OEA and the district participated in approximately 37 negotiating sessions with over 165 hours of bargaining over the next 15 months without reaching agreement on a successor contract. And whereas the Public Employment Relations Board declared an impasse on June 29, 2009, see letter from PERB attached here to it as Exhibit A, and thereafter the parties engaged in mediation between July 2009 and December 2009 in an effort to settle the contract, but were unable to reach tentative agreement on any of the outstanding issues. And whereas the state-appointed mediator certified the parties to fact-finding in December 2009, see letter from state mediator dated December 9, 2009, attached hereto as Exhibit B. And whereas on or about January 28, 2010, the PERG appointed a neutral panel member, Christopher Burdick. The district appointed Ron Bennett as its panel member, and OEA appointed Ward Roundtree as its panel member. And whereas the fact-finding hearing was conducted on February 22-23-2010, pursuant to Government Code Section 3548.2. And whereas the final fact-finding report was issued on April 13, 2010, with the concurrence of Mr. Bennett and the dissent of Mr. Roundtree.
That's not true.
See April 13, 2010 fact-finding report attached hereto as Exhibit C. And whereas the district and OEA leadership met on April 16, 2010 to discuss the fact-finding report and related items and reached second impasse as a result of each side being unwilling to accept the last, best, and final offer of the other, and the fact-finding report not providing a framework for which the district can settle. And whereas the district faces an $85 million budgetary shortfall for the next fiscal year, only that will increase without the changes implemented by this resolution. And whereas the Board of Education must take action to ensure the fiscal sovereignty of the district and must take steps to avoid another takeover of the district by the state of California. And whereas the district continues its loan repayment obligation to the state of California arising from the district's $100 million loan from the state in 2003. And the district continues to have a state trustee who retains stay and rescind powers. And whereas the district is currently in its third year as a program improvement district and is under the oversight of a district assistance and intervention team appointed by the state of California based on the ongoing inability to improve students' education, progress, access, and success at failing schools in the district. And whereas the contract changes implemented by this resolution will not change current salary levels of OEA unit members and also will not change current health benefits or current health benefit contributions of OEA members, but will allow the district to align its class size reduction program and contract language with current state law, and will eliminate the minimum requirement of 64 full-time contract positions in the adult education program. Among other things, that together will provide the district with approximately $8.9 million in budgetary flexibility that are critical to the district addressing its ongoing structural deficit while continuing to improve student outcomes. And whereas it is in the public interest to implement the following contract changes until such time as the parties reach a new negotiated agreement that is ratified by the board and OEA. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the board hereby implements the following contract changes for the 2009 fiscal year that are contained within the district's last, best, and final offer of December 7th, 2009.
Okay. We can continue the rest of it, but it'll take, there's an additional 29 pages of it. So if we can stipulate that the rest of the bad last, best, and final offer is contained in the articles attached to this, then we can proceed.
I have one final clause.
Yes.
Be it further resolved that the superintendent of schools is directed to implement the above referenced 2008-2009 contractual language effective April 21st, 2010.
Okay, thank you. And before we begin with the rest of the comments, I want to recognize Director London.
Director Yeo, I'd like to offer a friendly amendment to the motion before us in the paragraph that refers to the dissent of Mr. Roundtree. I would like to move that we remove the word dissent and replace it with the word nuanced support.
Okay. That's a friendly amendment, so it requires the consent of the mover and the on this item. Okay, so we'll make the friendly amendment to eliminate the word dissent, and that's the proposed friendly amendment.
I have a question regarding
the yes.
I guess the question that I have, why is it in there in the first place? Why did we put this here? So if somebody can answer that,
one of the parties other than Mr. Gallo, please turn off the mic.
It's Mr. Gallo.
Sure, why not? Turn it back on?
Thank you, I've got it on. I'm going to ask General Counsel Minor if you could respond to Director Gallo's question.
The resolution before you was a result of the work of many people. It was vetted, and obviously there can be a difference in interpretation. I think the amendment that has been proposed seems to more appropriately address Mr. Roundtree's characterization of the position he took, and certainly I think it's an appropriate amendment.
Do we, I can ask a question of the friendly amendment. Could you perhaps change it to strike dissent of Mr. Roundtree?
We would replace Director Gallo under my friendly amendment. We would take out the word dissent and put in the words nuanced support. I would say nuanced support of Mr. Roundtree. That's all I'm saying is strike dissent and put in the word nuanced support. And put his name there. This is my amendment. Excuse me, members of the public, this is my friendly amendment.
Okay. This is a friendly. This is a. We'll not engage in discussion with members of the public when we're in discussion. Mr. Bayer? So did she answer your question sufficiently? Okay, thank you. All right, before we...
A point of clarification.
Yes, Director Spearman.
I think the problem with this was the first part of the sentence that Mr. Roundtree did not read when he read into the sentence, because he started his sentence in the middle of a sentence, because I know I was educated in Oakland, so I might not have the full...
Speak for yourself.
But it reads to me,
people. It reads to me, the sentence starts out with, although I do not agree specifically with all of the chair's findings and recommendations, comma, nor do I support his rationale in all respects. Now, a normal person might think that is a dissent. It's the interpretation. Some people might interpret that to mean, well, I'm being respectful, but I don't agree.
And I think that was the tone,
that was the tenor of what was put in the resolution,
right.
Not to offend anybody.
Right. Now we have the friendly amendment, so that information will be that. That comment in the original resolution has been amended. Thank you, and thank you for pointing out the actual letter that was entered into the record, Director Spearman. I would like to ask General Counsel Minor to please contextualize this particular resolution in terms of the board's responsibility, the superintendent's responsibility, and the nature and the import of this particular decision that we're about to consider.
President Yee, Vice President Dobbins, Superintendent, members of the board, you have a resolution in front of you which came about following state procedure. On Wednesday, the fact finder's report was issued on Tuesday, April 13th. On Wednesday, the board had an opportunity to review and confer about the fact-finding report. As a result of the board's opportunity to review that report, conferring amongst itself and with staff, the board determined that the district simply did not have the money to accept the recommendations. And based upon that determination, the board then directed the superintendent to meet with representatives of OEA on Friday the 16th. It was in that meeting that the district, conferring with OEA, asked OEA if it were prepared to accept the district's last, best, and final offer, which was made in December of 2009. During that meeting, OEA advised the superintendent that OEA could not accept the district's last, best, and final offer. Again, that would be the offer of December of 2009. As a result of that meeting, it was determined that the parties are at second impasse. The superintendent memorialized that meeting in a letter that was sent to OEA. As a result of the parties having reached second impasse, this board, under state law, has the right to unilaterally implement your last, best, and final offer. And as I indicated during my initial presentation, as a consequence of the board's right to impose its last, best, and final offer, the bargaining unit can take appropriate concerted action.
Thank you very much. Before I begin public comment, I've had a moment to reflect on the friendly amendment.
water.
And Director Gallo and Director Spearman, it's changed. Thanks. And I'd like to ask Mr. Rickstraw, out of respect for Mr. Weinstein, to read the letter of concurrence into the record, skipping the intermediate pages of the actual fact finder's report, and let's just get to the letter so everybody can hear the exact words that were written down. Mr. Rickstraw, would you please do that? It's page 28. Read both Mr. Bennett and Mr. Roundtree's statements.
Mr. Bennett's statement is as follows. I agree with the chair's findings and recommendations and believe it is in the best interest of the parties to adopt the settlement recommended in this report. Mr. Roundtree's statement is, although I do not agree specifically with all of the chair's findings and recommendations, nor do I support his rationale in all respects, I believe this report and its recommendations provide a solid foundation for the parties to settle this dispute in the best interest of the parties and the students and citizens of Oakland. I have appreciated the leadership and thoughtful direction of Chairman Burdick during this process, and have also appreciated the professional discussion, debate, and dialogue with Mr. Bennett of School Services California. I believe the fact-finding process worked because of their efforts to effectively address the issues contained in this report.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rickstraw, and thank you, Mr. Roundtree, for your report. Okay, we're ready for public comments. How many cards do we have, Mr. Rickstraw?
We have 45 cards on this item.
We have 45 cards on this item. I'd like to allocate a minute and a half for each card, for each speaker, and I'd like to begin with Mr. Roundtree.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Could you call up the other 9 speakers?
Give me a moment to adjust the clock, please.
Okay. An hour and a half. I'm sorry, a minute and a half.
All right. After Mr. Roundtree, we will have John Glover. First name Balin, the last name I cannot make out. Anna Turetsky, Bob Bandel, Alicia Arnold, Mary Emily.
Emily Mason.
Okay. Only one name, David. Jonan Appadin. And Betty Olson Jones.
Yeah.
President Yee, members of the board, Superintendent Smith, what we just witnessed was a prime example why we can't get a settlement in the contract. You don't ask the people who did the work. There's another point in your resolution that I think is not correct. In your last whereas on the first page, you state in the last few lines, as a result of each side being unwilling to accept the last, best, and final offer of the other, the OEA never offered our last, best, and final offer at that meeting. We said, and we continue to say, we are willing to negotiate around the solid foundations that the fact-finding report outlines. And so let us be clear, we have never said we are unwilling to negotiate or that this district has to accept our last, best, and final offer. Quite to the contrary, I'm going back to my prepared remarks. Quite to the contrary of your resolution, as I said in my attached statement, I believe the fact-finding process worked and the parties should work from the strong foundation to settle this dispute in the best interest of the parties, the students, and the citizens and community of Oakland. I will not let your misrepresentations act to legitimize your unacceptable treatment of teachers and other OEA If you want to continue to foster the dissent, distrust, and disgust of the employees of this district, let your imposition stand on its own weight. Certainly your refusal to negotiate, your imposition, which in a labor sense is analogous to a declaration of war, will not to any degree move us closer to a settlement. It is too bad that your actions will add to the frustration, I'm ending, continuous disruption and continuous disruption of an already too unstable, too disrupted teaching and learning environment in this school district. Oakland students suffer by your irresponsible actions in this regard.
My name is Anna Turetsky. I'm speaking as an Oakland community member, as an OUSD employee, as an adult ed teacher, as a labor leader, president of the American Federation of Teachers, as an advocate for the democratic process. I fear that OUSD is not walking its talk. I fear that you are falling short of your of moral, ethics, and good intentions. I fear that OUSD will lose whatever gains it's been making with a new superintendent. I fear that you are going to create a greater divide between the community, between the teachers, between all the workers in this district. I fear, Dr. Smith, that you will lose the respect that you're slowly building within collaboration. An imposition is not democratic. It's not collaborative. It's not in the best interest of anyone, including the district. I know that the directors of the board and the superintendent and the state trustee will go back to the table and that you will demonstrate and model to the students, to the workers, what it means to work out solutions. Please negotiate in good faith.
Thank you very much.
Especially,
we do not have a process proceeding. You need to speak on your own behalf and use your time. Okay. Next speaker.
Hi, members of the board. Hi, fellow teachers. Hi, members of the audience and friends who are here. I'd like to be honest and say I am really tired right now. Physically tired. I taught a stellar lesson today. My principal observed me. Allison McDonald also observed me in the classroom today. Their comments afterward were how engaged my students were, how much they were learning, how clear the structure was in the classroom. But I'm tired. I have 96 papers waiting for me when I go home tonight because I have 3 world history classrooms that have 32 students in it. And luckily, I have 32 students who come every day.
Yeah.
And I'm happy about that. I am tired because I have to write my quiz for Friday. I am tired because I'm planning a brand new unit about the history of Mexico that is engaging my Latino students in ways that I have not seen all year. But I'm tired because I'm spending my free time when I should be planning my teaching on working with my union to fight for a fair contract. And I will do that. But I don't feel like I should have to put this much effort and energy into fighting for what is right and what is fair because it should be given to us as a thank you for the hard work that we did. And frankly, I just don't want to be tired anymore. I want to be a teacher, and that's all I want to do. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Janana Python. I teach at 4-5 Combination at Kaiser Elementary. And I went to Oakland Schools, went to kids to Oakland Schools. I'm getting ready to send one off to college. So, anyway, we postponed our strike to show good faith. We were, you know, instructed 10 days. It's normal to look at the fact-finding report and to, you know, take time to then, in good faith, bargain. So that's what we did. And, you know, I'm not so much, as you can probably guess, not in it for the money. I'm in it for the kids. I'm in it for Oakland. But a modest increase is overdue. And it's definitely necessary to recruit and retain new teachers in Oakland. I'm in it for the kids, and you know everybody here is in it for the kids. And if you want to close the achievement gap, you need to support the families so they can support their kids. You don't need to be leaving the door open to shut down adult education. That's not right. That's not right for the families. They need to support their kids. Okay? So cut adult education. You know, you want to close the achievement gap, you need to give me and my fellow teachers the conditions that are necessary to educate and to meet the individual needs of our students. Do not leave the door open to continue raising class size. Okay? It went from the state rate to 20, you know, to maybe 21, 22, 24. What's it going to be? And, you know, we had split reading when I started. What, you know, mandatory work? What happened to the 5 days?
Thank you very much.
Fun, you know?
Thank you very much.
My name is Bob Mandel. I'm an adult ed teacher, member of the OEA bargaining team for healthcare. I urge you to vote against imposition. It's clear from the Central Labor Council giving us unanimous sanction. They recognize the justice of our cause, and they recognize that what you are doing is attacking every single union in the city, as Ben said. I hope you voted down, but I hope you're clear that you coming back to the bargaining table is only the first step. There are some positives in the fact-finding report. The fact that it says class size limits must continue is a positive. The fact that it says the adult ed program must continue is a positive. But at best, what it will do in its present form is slow the decline of public education in this city. We need firm limits, and we need those limits, as OEA proposed, at 24 to 1. We need at least the adult ed program as it's presently constituted. More important, you know there's money. We've identified 35 to 40 million bucks. We flushed out Kaiser so that the miracle occurred. Kaiser came forward with a 0% increase. That was our work. And if this board will stand up to private industry in this city and demand they step up, there is money in your ranks and in this city.
I'm David DeLayu. I teach at Oakland Tech High School. I'm the chair of the OEA bargaining team. I noticed something in the press release on Friday which said that the district could have gone on with the charade of bargaining, but it was cleaner not to. And I want you to know I really noticed those words, because I and the other people of the bargaining team didn't think we were participating in a charade when we put in those hundreds of hours. But clearly, that was the opinion of the board. I want to know how many tens of thousands of dollars were spent on paying your negotiating team and its support people for this charade you decided to ditch when it didn't look like it was going well. I want to note that there are people who spent hundreds of hours with your team discussing this. Did you speak to one of us about, you know, it would have been just courtesy to ask the bargaining team about acceptance of the final offer. Instead, you called a meeting for another purpose to told no one anything and asked Betty Olson Jones during that meeting, do you accept our offer? This is not reasonable bargaining. This is a game.
Thank you very much.
I'm the director of the American Indian Public Charter Schools here in Oakland, and I come to a lot of these meetings. So much so that many of you have wondered why I come to all of these meetings openly. And I come here for the same reason I do my job, and that's because I care about educating the kids here in Oakland. And I'm breaking one of the rules that my high school math teacher taught me when I was in school, which is even a fish can stay out of trouble if it keeps its mouth shut. But here we go. We take care of our own at American Indian. Our teachers, not because of the extra money from grants or from the government, but because we do have low administrative costs and we don't hire consultants, but also because we get rid of the bad teachers and do more for the good ones. Our starting salary is over $6,000 more than the district starting salary for new teachers. They get a retirement plan. They get merit bonuses for student achievement. They get bonuses for perfect attendance. And this leads to high student achievement. It leads to structured classrooms. It leads to a safe school environment. And that's what parents want. And this is why our enrollment is strong. It seems to me that there are too many adults here that are worried about adults and not enough worried about kids.
What?
And I admit that we do put kids ahead of the adults.
Yes, not by calling them the N-word and shaving their heads and sexually harassing.
Ms. Gander, put 10 seconds back on as well.
I think that maybe what we need is a union for the students of Oakland, so they're represented here too. I don't have a solution to all of this, but I'm telling you something right now. If they don't start to put the kids first, we will.
Mr. Rickstraw, please call next 10 speakers.
I haven't spoken yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Betty Olson Jones, Oakland Education Association. I would like to personally invite all those teachers from the American Indian Public Charter School to join OEA because I know at this point they're conditions are so rough. So charter school teachers will be organizing you in the next months and years to come. I don't have near enough time to speak to all the fallacies that Mr. Glover came up with, such as getting rid of all the bad teachers and teacher combat pay and incentive pay. That's all garbage. It's for another time. What I want to do right now is read from our new strike sanction letter from the American, the Alameda Labor Council, the AFL-CIO. I'd like to read part of it into the record. It was sent today. Dear Sister Olson Jones, by unanimous vote, the Executive Committee of the Alameda Labor Council, AFL-CIO, has approved sanction for a one-day strike against the Oakland Unified School District on April 29, 2010. You should know the Alameda Labor Council and its affiliates are 100% behind you. These many years of struggle against the state trusteeship and against privatizing unaccountable bureaucrats have deepened the connections of our unions and community, and you can expect heartfelt expressions of solidarity and sympathy with your cause. Labor Council leadership is prepared to join you for the noontime rally on April 29th and is reaching out to community and political leadership in support of your efforts. Your members work hard each and every day to make tomorrow better in this community and to offer hope and opportunity to our most important resources, our children, tomorrow's leaders. The pandering and the talk about this not being about children, being about adults, has got to stop. All of these teachers work their butts off every day.
Daughter, Barbara Schmidt, Lenora Pritchard, Hillary Fox, Timothy Simmons, first name is Keller, Jeff R.T., Sarah Uberhart, Daniel Gray, and Sylvain Coyne. And I apologize if I mispronounced your name.
And just a reminder, please do your best to stick to the minute and a half. I know it's difficult, it's short time, but we've allocated an hour and 15 minutes, which is 15 minutes longer than originally planned for this time. So please stick to your time. Go ahead.
My name is Barbara Schmidt, and I'm a proud Oakland Unified teacher, not in a charter school. Thank you. By the way, one of my students who went to the Native American Indian Charter School is very happy not to be going there next year. Okay. Anyway, I would like to say that at Sequoia, we have worked hard to recruit and keep families. With this imposition that you are suggesting, many parents will leave Oakland Unified School District if their children don't receive an acceptable education where children, teachers, and families are respected. I know that they will because I've heard parents tell me how disgusted they are with your last and best final offer. With your imposition, there is no respect for the people of this community. Students must come first. Yes. Class size rejection is key to providing a quality education for all students. We've shown that class size reduction works in supporting student achievement, and now you want to decimate the program? Is that in the best interest of our students? I think not. Students must come first. Recruiting and keeping teachers will not happen if we are not respected with a contract that supports the work we do to educate the children of this community. You need to go back to the negotiating table and work until we have a contract that is acceptable to all parties.
Thank you.
My name is Lenore Pritchard, and I am a member of the public. I'm going to read something I wrote, and I can only read it and write it because the teacher taught me. It has come to the attention of the public that you are sorely abusing and underserving the educators of this community. And by proxy, you are underserving the students. An already underprivileged, marginalized class of students will find themselves even more at a disadvantage, unable to intellectually compete with youth that have the luck of growing up in a school district that is better funded and more invested in their well-being. This is not surprising, coming from a group of people who refer to students as customers, and who would allow a person of a lecherous nature on the board once more. Mr. Dobbins, I'm referring to you. It is outrageous that the board, whose sole job is to ensure the safety and well-being of students, would allow someone of this character to serve the public yet again. Mr. Dobbins.
Are you speaking on the topic?
It is atrocious that you would take...
Are you speaking on the topic?
That you would have the audacity to show your face on this board after you were caught dating a 17-year-old girl. Do you think the public is
this
oblivious...
This is out of order?
...that they would forget after only 3 years?
This is our
board.
This is our purpose to be a different. I will not.
The fact that our students' parents are non-native English speakers, that they are working class people struggling to support their families, and therefore have limited resources to attend these meetings. Let me finish.
I am recessing this meeting until this person is finished speaking.
You're only interested in political gains. Your positions on the board is a stepping stone towards greater political power.
It's okay.
We realize the future of working class impoverished children of color are not what you worry about when you close your eyes at night. But that future is all the teachers care about. They dedicate their time, their energy, and emotion into trying to serve these children. And they do it with nothing. No resources and no support. listen, because they're here for the children. Who are you here for? Meeting has now come to session. I think we should get an extra 30 seconds for every second we have to wait.
Okay, the board meeting is now back in session.
Board members not present.
Yeah, not all of your members are back on.
We are formed. The television is back on, the mic's back on.
My name is Arlene Novosada, and I'm an oldie but goodie. I'm a teacher in at Thornhill School. I'm an oldie because one of you was my first grade student. I'm a goodie because I started teaching because I love to work with children, and I still love to work with children. I come tonight with concerns and questions. I teach kindergarten. I have 24 students in my class. And we talk about responsibility and fairness in our class. And I have some questions because it wasn't teachers who created the deficit in this district. And someone was brought in to help overcome that deficit. And I don't think when that person left that we were in better shape than when he started. However, in 2003-2004, teachers gave back $13 million for this district because of cuts that we took in our health benefits, and we have not gone up in pay. Measure E was supposed to bring money to the district to retain and recruit teachers, and I don't know where that money has gone. I know that we've been given this EduSoft system, which I'm sure has created money for consultants, and it hasn't really affected the children in the classroom in a good way. So I just, I believe in change. I'm hopeful of a better future, and I hope that you will stay open to negotiating with teachers.
Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Tim. It's been really powerful listening to people's comments today. I just want to thank people for that. But I come here as I'm a community member here in Oakland. I'm really proud to be living in Oakland and call the city my home. A number of teachers in the Oakland School District are my good friends, and I come here standing solidarity with them. I'm also a union member. I'm a member of Graphic Communications International Union, Teamsters District Council number 2, so I stand here in solidarity with other organized labor and other union workers. I'm also someone I've been lucky enough to be a part of working with students across the state, but primarily here in the East Bay, over the past few months, fighting attacks on public education in the community colleges and the state system and the Cal system as well as the UC system. And it's been an unprecedented few months in terms of students, workers, and teachers standing up in those areas. And if you've listened to anything that they have said, it's not just about the universities. It's about fighting these attacks directly on public education. And now we see this happening here. We see which side you guys have stood on in the past and which side you will stand on again in terms of this fight against the destruction of public education in this state and in this country. You guys are directly... But what's happening right now is going to directly affect all of Oakland. It's an attack on Oakland. It's an attack on the workers that we see here. It's an attack on the students. And just know that all these people who have been organizing our campuses across this country, across the state particularly, and the East Bay, have their eyes on this contract negotiation right now. And they will be out in the streets with the people.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to cede my minutes to Lenora, who
we do not have seating. You'll have to.
Who overtalked her time, and then you walked out like a little kid because you couldn't deal with that. So now I'm going to talk for that 2 minutes, I guess.
Yes.
All right. Here are the facts. Oakland Unified is bypassing the usual hiring procedures by waiving the legal requirements for substitute teachers to protect our students. The $300 offer for scab labor is about 3 times the normal pay for substitute teachers, and is roughly equivalent to the pay that a tenured PhD-holding teacher would make for 7 years would make with 7 years of experience. Like, really? The $720,000 needed to pay SCAD substitutes for work during the one-day strike is approximately the salary for 18 full-time teachers to work for an entire school year. Really? Are you really that disgusting? Nearly 200 teachers and support staff received pink slips from the district in March of 2010. OUSD pays classroom teachers and instructional aides less than what's required by state law. California Education Code requires that 55% of educational expenses go to compensation for classroom teachers and aides, but the district is only allocating 45% or $35 million less than what the law requires. The amount alone would more than pay for the Oakland Education Association's contract demands. Really? And don't you make like $260,000 a year or something? It's just fucking
Hi, my name is Hillary Fox, and I'm here as a parent of a first grader at Chabot and as someone who thinks that every child deserves a quality education, and the best way to get that is to support our teachers.
Following the negotiations,
I was so happy we were out from under the trusteeship back to an elected school board, but I have to say I'm wondering who you're representing. I don't have the economic financial background, I'm a lawyer, to assess the financial state and whether or not the district, as it says, has an inability to pay. But I know that you went through a fact-finding process that I hope you took seriously, and I understand there were reams of information presented there. And the fact finder's conclusion includes two sentences that I thought were pretty compelling. He says, the chair believes it is neither reasonable nor practical to ask the OEA membership to pass up 2008-09 and then take nothing for the next 3 years while simultaneously agreeing to an open-ended reopener that would allow the OUSD to force it back to the table for needed pay decreases or other concessions. There comes a point beyond which we cannot expect workers to go. We can pay a 2% increase. We can pay 15%, he says, and I don't know the numbers, but all a parent can do is rely on the fact finder report and to then hear you all say, we're not even going to negotiate. Yeah. I don't know what you expect us to think.
Thank you very much.
The people who made the motion are not even here. I just want to point that out. My name is Jessie Ortiz. I am adult ed contract teacher. Take a look at me now, it's like a dinosaur. So I got so sad that I wrote a hip hop rhyme for y'all. You can do some rhythm if you like. Okay. The state took control because we got in debt. Now it's 5 years later and what do we get? Layoffs, cutbacks, programs gone. The list of hurt goes on and on. The folks at the top just walk away. They got nothing to offer and they won't play. Administrators want flexibility. They want all adult ed, hourly. But look what they did. They got real tough. All hourly teachers got laid off. Yes, all hourly teachers got laid off. Immigrants in Oakland need adult ed. They need contract teachers. Must say.
Thank all of our public school teachers. You all do an amazing job. I do want to say, however, that an imposition onto these teachers is not democratic or collaborative on your part. Your refusal to negotiate demonstrates your lack of respect towards the students and teachers in Oakland. And as the teachers here tonight have said that they are tired of fighting you for what is right, for fair payment, for a job well done, I encourage you to vote against the imposition. Otherwise, get ready to pay those scabs, folks, because there will be strikes and there will be pickets, and the members of this community are going to stand behind these teachers until you do the right thing.
Thank you very much.
my name is Sylvia Ancone. I'm a kindergarten teacher at Walking Miller Elementary. This is my third year teaching in Oakland, and I was hoping to teach for many more. But you make me so disappointed every day. This is something I wrote yesterday. I learned yesterday of the newly revised agenda for the upcoming school board meeting, and I was shocked and appalled to learn that you will be voting on the imposition of contract for the teachers of Oakland. The decision to impose a contract would be unconscionable. It would demonstrate a total lack of interest in fairness and due process and would indicate to Oakland's teachers the level to which OUSD's administration and school board disrespect and devalue us as professionals. It is no secret that Oakland Unified is a challenging place to work and that teachers' compensation in this district is the lowest in Alameda County. This district already loses a stunning number of teachers each year due to poor working conditions, unrealistic expectations, low pay, and lack of respect for the hard work we do. You would be well served to think long and hard about the degree of dedication and professionalism demonstrated by these teachers who stick around year after year despite the myriad reasons to leave. I can assure you that the Oakland community will be watching this vote with great interest. Do not expect the support of Oakland's teachers at any future date if you choose to stand against us tonight at the school board meeting. In addition, I'd like to note that I looked up the definition of a contract, and according to the American Heritage Dictionary, it's an agreement between two or more parties, especially one that is written and enforceable by law. If you impose, it's not an agreement. So.
Thank you very much.
Evening, everyone. My name is Dan Grace. I live in Oakland. I also own and operate a multi-million-dollar waste management corporation that operates in Oakland. Every year, our company pays hundreds of thousands of dollars in state and local taxes. And I'm here to really commend your efforts for breaking this union. You see, I think that it's finally time that we alleviate ourselves of some of this tax burden that's been foisted upon us by greedy socialists. What I say is, why stop there? Really, this is a half measure. I say, fire the teachers. I say, sell the schools. Hell, sell the libraries. I say, privatize education, and then you can abdicate your positions. You can come and work for my corporations, and once you've broken this union, you can break the union there. You know, let's face it. We'll all be able to pay for the education of our kids once the schools are privatized. So let me tell you, I can also use the cheap, unskilled labor that will come after this effort has taken place. So once again, I implore you, please fire the teachers, privatize the schools, and come work for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
At a charter school out in Oakland. I actually 100% support OEA, and I wish that I had a union at my charter school. I, at the end of the year, will raise every single one of my 30 students' reading levels by more than a year. I, at the end of this year, will raise every single one of my 30 students' math scores by more than a year. My kids are already doing sixth grade math. I am a good teacher. I chose to work at the charter school where I work because of what that gentleman said before. They pay me more. I make $6,000 more than I did at Oakland Unified 2 years ago. $6,000 is enough to start paying back my student loans. Pay works. They deserve it. I deserve it. They are excellent teachers. They need more money. Class size matters. My school caps class size. We get private money to do it, but we cap class size. And let me tell you, 30 fifth graders is a lot easier than 35 fifth graders, 32 fifth graders. I need that time with each one of my kids. Class size matters. Rich people pay private tuition to get lower class size and better paid teachers.
That's right.
We deserve the same. OEA deserves the same. Your children deserve the same.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Steve Neat, Mary Lozier, Craig Gordon, Ben Bisnick, Rory Abernathy, David DeLuke, Deree Snyder, Barbara Range, Jack Durson, and Ron Autumn.
Hello, good evening. My name is Steve Need. I teach 5th grade at Kaiser School. I'm on the OEA Executive Board. I would just like to respectfully make a few suggestions to the school board this evening. I would like to respectfully suggest that the school board not go around touting OUSD's increasing achievement over the last 5 years, due in large part to low class size, while at the same time going to school sites, including mine, and saying that the studies show that class size does not affect student achievement. It comes across as disingenuous, and parents know that, and they ask me about it. I would also like to suggest to the school board that they join the right side in the fight for quality public education in California. Classrooms over outside contracts are students over excessive administrators and teacher retention over teacher attrition. And I would also like to suggest that this school board put its money where its mouth is and create success by prioritizing it, rather than undermine success by expecting it for nothing. We all know the challenges in Oakland. We've talked about it a lot. We all know the money in Oakland is there. We've talked about that a lot. Let's forget the median. Let's make OUSD a model for urban districts in California. Let's put teacher compensation at the top. Let's have a robust adult ed and early childhood education program. Let's have realistic counselor and nurse to student ratios. And let's, despite what one or two hand-picked studies from dozens may show, let's have low class sizes. Thank you very much.
My name is Mary Lozier, and I've been here on several occasions to talk about this, but I will mention it again because it doesn't seem to be heard. I have been a member of the bargaining team, and I'm also a member of the Measure E and G Oversight Committee, which never meets, by the way. I want to say that the citizens of Oakland are already paying extra money to OUSD to provide small class sizes and to have competitive salaries for its teachers. We are giving you an extra $20 million a year, which is enough to pay for all of these contract requests. And I would like to know what you say to Oakland people who pay these taxes. I mean, what is your answer? How can you, what do you say to Oakland taxpayers when you don't use that money for the things that you said that you were going to collect it for? And are we ever going to meet? Is the Oversight Committee ever going to meet? Is the school board ever going to enforce the law?
Yeah.
I have been here for 2 years making this request.
Thank you very much.
My name is Rory Abernethy, Miss Abernethy to my students, and I teach math at Oakland High, and I teach math no matter what. So if it's Christmas, no matter what, we're learning math. So, I mean, you know, day before Christmas, no parties, just math, except for today, because the kids were like, what's going on? So I had a kid be Betty, I had a kid be Tony, and I had a kid be the school board, and I had a kid be the fact finder. And we went through the whole process, as I understood it, and they acted out what's going on so they could understand it. When they got to today, they said, well, why don't they go back and talk? Because when their parents break them apart, and they listen to one side and listen to the other side, they say after that, we have to talk. And they didn't understand why now there's this next step happening. They didn't get it, neither do I. And I also want to say that I came from, and also they want to know what they can do, and I'm going to go back and tell them, because we need to get our students and our parents behind us. The other thing is, I came from a charter school. I took a pay cut to go to Oakland Unified because there are legendary teachers in Oakland Unified. Tom Wright, Phil Greed, Tina Garcia in math. I heard about these people. And
I went to learn from them because I wasn't learning anything from the charter school. In terms of having nothing but new teachers, high turnover, etc. So I just want to say that that basically charter school people, come talk to me, we're organizing.
Thank you very much. Good evening again, my name is Ben Visnick. I'm a teacher at Oakland High and a parent of a fifth grader at Redwood Heights. Even Randy Ward, the Boston bully, did not attempt to impose a contract on the OEA. As many predicted, the new superintendent, with his oh-so-progressive veneer, is doing the work that a conservative state administrator could not accomplish, attempt to break the spirit and aspirations of the teachers of Oakland. But we teachers should not despair. We have outlasted every superintendent. They have brought to Oakland to experiment on our students and demoralize and turn over teachers since 2002. For 8 years, we have watched other Oakland helping professionals, for example, firefighters and nurses, gain a much higher standard of living while we have gone backwards. Now in 2010, the neutral fact finder wants us to wait another 2 years before we receive an insulting 2% raise. But that is too little and too late.
Right.
Yet, it is too much for you. 2% in 2012 is too much for you. You are the local OUSD board. I think you should spell it L-O-C-O. I think you're local. Teachers are tired, but you have helped energize us this evening. Thank you very much for attempting to impose. We'll see you on the 29th.
Thank you very much.
Jack Gerson, OEA Bobbing Team. So I was looking today over some of the agreements that were made for pay for performance and where the funding came from. New York City, October 17th, 2007, there was an agreement between the union, the United Federation of Teachers, and the Department of Education. The funding came from private sources. Which ones? The Broad Foundation, lead funder, and then the Robinson Foundation and the Partnership for New York City. The Partnership for New York City is the Standing Committee of Corporate Metropolitan New York Community World. Now, in this district, we've been run for years. We hope we're no longer being run by the Broad Foundation. We're not so sure now, given this imposition. Where could the money possibly come from? Well, how about, I think that there are people who can get lines of communication to Eli Broad and might suggest that it might be a good idea to give us some money. How about $20 million? How about the money they gave to Denver to pass pay for performance? The Broad Foundation brags about the fact that they delivered it very strategically the last minute so they could get 59% of the teacher vote by rigging the election. That's in an article by the managing director, Dan Katsir of the Broad Foundation. I just read that over again today. Now, I have a proposal. I think I know another source of money. I proposed a while back at UC Berkeley in the past year that they take a look at what would happen if they cut salaries to $100,000, and then there would have been no need for layoffs or tuition hikes. How about you guys? Would you work for $70,000 maximum? Leave aside our average salary? Let's figure out how much it would be if we shot the salary, the maximum salary here of all administrators, to our average salary, for our maximum salary. I suspect we'd be able to get a lot better contract from them.
Good afternoon, good evening actually. My name is Barbara Range. I am a early childhood education teacher. And tonight, I am standing before you saying that no to your imposition of the contract that you are trying to impose upon us. I am saying no tonight to teacher layoffs. I am saying no tonight to the 10 full-time ECE teacher layoffs that is threatening to come to us. I'm also saying no to ECE teachers working on Saturdays for district buyback days without pay. No. I am saying no to class size increases.
I am also saying no to any reopening or renegotiation of our health benefits, especially when you are not giving us a pay salary or increase to pay for that health care that you're claiming that we would have to pay. I'm saying no. Lastly, I have a daughter that attended Oakland Public Schools, Cleveland Elementary School, McChesney Junior High School, Oakland High School, and a college graduate. This was the good old days when the teachers, okay, were there, the board was supporting, you know, teachers, when public was supporting teachers. And I'm saying tonight, I'm calling out to parents tonight, all throughout Oakland, California, okay, come out and support your teachers. Support your children, because they demand a quality education and they demand that the board support them. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name is Deirdre Snyder. I teach at Oakland Technical High School. I teach Spanish, and I also am the director of the Green Academy. So, and I'm a rep for the district, for the union, and not for the district. And my students were wondering about this great big stack of Use Your Voice that was standing, sitting there, and I don't have homeroom, so they just looked at, what are all these papers for? Isn't this a waste of paper? And I thought, yes, this is a waste of paper, because teachers were also asked, use your voice. Oh, really? We are trying to. It's called the union. Why are you spending all of this money on this last year's plan? Use your voice, insultingly. USA, pool boss. And you don't have the money? You won't listen to the union? You have, in violation of the Ed Code, you have 78 too many administrators, 55% of the district budget goes to administration instead of the 55% to the classroom. I could switch districts, lose 10 years of experience, and still make more money. So I ask you, as one of my colleagues said today, what kind of a district treats its employees like this? What are you thinking?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, my name is Ron Ortman. I'm a math facilitator at Franklin School. And, you know, for the last, what, six or seven years when we've been taken over by the state, we've seen this huge ballooning of the administration office down here to the point where it's rather self-serving at this point. It does not provide a lot of support for students. We've seen years and years of COLA money being absorbed by the district office. One example is, you know, I was on the adoption committee for the math tests. Here we adopted the most expensive math series in the state of California. It has all sorts of embedded assessments. It has assessments that you can make online. It has assessment CDs. It has assessments in the text. It has assessment books. And for some strange reason, we hire consultants to make assessments. And I just don't understand why that kind of waste is allowed. Like I said, I feel that the administration has, partially because for those years which we were under state control, we had administrators who really didn't care about what was going on in Oakland. And I was hoping now that we have a local board in control, and we have a superintendent in control, that we can turn this district around and take the movement away from this huge administration and get it back to the teachers. Because anyone who has been involved with teaching knows that the power of learning comes from the teacher. It doesn't come from the administration. No matter how great your administration is, your teachers are what's most important. So I hope that you show respect for the teachers. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Craig Gordon. You know, it's been said up here that you're showing, and I said a few weeks ago when you decided, when you voted for the resolution to pay $300 a day to SCAPS, that you're more clearly than ever showing which side you're on. On March 4th, or leading up to March 4th, there was a lot of talk about, you know, we're all on the same page, we're all in favor of more money for schools, and we all care about the kids, and we want, you know, there was a big fist on the OUSD website, March 4th, day of action, except anything that might disrupt anything. But, you know, it was clear what was really going on, and now, you know, as the district says, they can't afford to pay teachers the going rate anywhere close to, and in fact, the very bottom of what other teachers are paid in the area. But, of course, as the fact finder noted, the district can't afford to pay administrators greater amounts to administrators and, of course, pay more to the superintendent than anybody, pretty much any other district. And when it comes to paying for scabs to break a strike, it's clear that for the district, money is no obstacle. So, you know, I really think that, you know, you need to think about what side you're on. You need to recognize that the community knows which side you're on. And if you're truly with the community and with your teachers and you're really about the kids, then you will vote to go back to negotiating and to find the money that you know is there.
Thank you very much.
I would say approximately 15.
15 cars, okay. We're well past the hour, but with the consent of my colleagues on the board, let's finish all 15 cars.
Thank you.
A minute and a half. Could you call the next 10 cars, please?
Can you all pay attention, please?
Richard Mellor, Mark Ergood, Jim Mordecai, Tanya Kapner, Jim Schiff, Oscar Wright, Zachary Selden, Mziki, I'm sorry I can't pronounce your last name, Jennifer Formosa, M. Shane, Linda Smith, Mike Holcomb, David Colker, Richard Thompson, Max Harris, William Orr, and Katie Duncan.
And Ms. Richard, before we begin, is there anybody up in the Hunter Hall? Is there anybody upstairs? Is there anybody upstairs that needs to be speaking? Do you need to come down now? No? Okay, great. Yes.
Hey, Mark Ergood, OEA Executive Board Officer, and I'm the bargaining team for the OEA. So I you know, strongly agree with what the teachers and parents have been up here tonight have been saying, especially the parent earlier who pointed to the fact that this is actually, if I would call on the board to reject imposition, but a vote for imposition is clearly an attack not only on teachers, but primarily on the conditions in the schools and the students and families of Oakland. And the things in the fact finder, the things that the fact finder report that the OEA thinks are strong bases, there is some good efforts toward keeping class sizes down and under control. There's actually language for the decile 1 and 2 elementary schools. There's language that we would help protect our elementary school class sizes. There's language to protect adult education students, as well as some beginnings, at least, of language to protect special education students. I'm trying to think, what's the board going to say when we're done? Either folks vote to reject this imposition, or I think the only thing that can be said is, well, we don't have the money. But the money, that we went over that for days and days and days, and not only the independent, but your representative on the board agreed that there is money there, that there is the basis of granting some set of things that the OEA is demanding. I'm not, you know, signing on every dot or crossing every T of this report, but I certainly think it's basis to bargain on and move
Thank
forward.
Thank you, Mr. Margaret.
I'm Brother Mziki, prep teacher at Lakeview Elementary. I was here Saturday to witness your strategic planning meeting. I was surprisingly impressed to hear so many wonderful ideas and goals expressed for OUSD. Many of the ideas echo the goals and philosophy of the OEA membership. However, I also wonder how these great ideas would be implemented when teachers are continually disrespected. We remain the lowest paid teachers in Alameda County. Your tired, convenient claim to having no money to pay us a decent, respectable wage continues to fall on deaf ears amongst the OEA membership. We maintain that it is a matter of priorities. Examples, again, overpaid consultants, overabundance of highly paid administrators, mismanaged funds. But it's not about the money that's going to the superintendent, the consultants, etc. It's about realistic class size. It's about maintaining adult ed in the city with such a high dropout rate at the high school level. Finally, it's about you as elected school board members sending a message that you are real and faithful advocates for public education, which is a civil right. And let me repeat that. It's about you as elected school board members sending a message that you are real and faithful advocates for public education, which is a civil right.
My name is Oscar Wright. And for 48 years, I've advocated equity of content for all students. We have 75.6% of the students in this district is black and Latino. And we have 6% is Asian. Black and Latino kids are not achieving at 50%. I wonder, when are we going to start talking about children? We talk about a lot of money, and I know we need money. I know the teachers need some more money, but they need to teach. They all know the state content framework. They know that they're supposed to teach these kids algebra in kindergarten, geometry in kindergarten. They know that no kid is supposed to leave third grade unless they can read with comprehension and write and spell. But it's not being done. So my question is to all of us. I've talked about the volunteer resolution. I filed a complaint in 1993. The board agreed to it. It has not been implemented. No teachers stand here with me. None of the teachers union have ever stood here with me. And all I've asked for that every elementary, middle, and high school student receive access to the same course and classes with the same curriculum content. When we talk about all of these children and all the progress we've made and the smaller class sizes and all of everything, and it's all about money and dollars and cents, the kids are nowhere in the equation. Nowhere.
Thank
it's
you,
all
Mr.
about
Wright.
Money and content. I hope that we get together here and understand that this is not about you,
thank
it's
you, Mr.
not
Wright.
About me, it's about our children.
Thank you, Mr. Wright.
Hello, my name is Zachary Selden. I'm a substitute teacher for this town. They call me Mr. Zach. I love my job. It's pretty cool. We're here to talk about the contract. Okay. I think that for what we're asking for, I don't accept that there's no money in the district. I don't think anybody here does either. I make about 20 a year. I work about every day. And teachers make like double or triple that. And they work about double or triple that. I wanted to know how much you guys make, all of you guys, you know, how much do you work? There's money there, that's one place. I was talking to a teacher the other day at Lockwood, and she was having me sub because she had to go train for size one, and I was talking to her, and she said she felt it was degrading that she had to go be taught how to teach math. She's a math teacher, she's been doing it for a while. You know, there's some money there. recruitment. We think that teacher recruitment equals kid retainment. You know, kids are not stupid. I mean, they get a new set of teachers every year, practically, not, you know, not 100%, but I mean, there's a big turnover rate, you know. People go 1 or 2 years and then they leave. We think, and I think, that not negotiating a good contract is affecting the teacher recruitment, and that's kind of indirectly pushing kids out of school.
Right.
And if there's no school, it's like, well, what kind of job can you get? You know, you get like a Walmart job, or you get like an Army job, you know, and like, speaking of the Army, you know, we just, I don't accept there's no money in the federal government. They just put like $80 million to put kids in Afghanistan. And
thank
it's like those
much.
Kids that
your,
you guys are indirectly
up.
Pushing out of school. It's almost
your time
like
is
you're
up. Please wrap it up.
You know, we want
thank you very much.
And not war,
thank you very much. Your time is up.
Hold.
Your time is up.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Formosa, and I'm a teacher at Thornhill Elementary School. And I also was here this Saturday, and I heard a lot of great ideas. But one thing that in order to implement those ideas, as much as we like them, we need to have trust between all of you and all of us. And imposing our contract breaks trust. To fulfill the desired goals that you laid out on Saturday, you need trust from every OUSD staff member. The only way to get that trust back is to return to the table and negotiate fairly and in good faith, which I don't see happening. And I don't understand it. I thought you guys were here for the children, and I don't think so if you're doing this.
Thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Kim Schiff, and since I have a little bit of time, I'll get right to the point. I live in this community too, and I'm here speaking on behalf of those parents who don't get heard, and those are the parents that live in the lower District 7. And, you know, we do a lot of talking. I'm tired of the rhetoric. We've been around here for 13, I've been here for 13 years hearing the same thing over and over. And one of the things I would say is that, you know, we've heard a lot, but we all have to be civil, okay? And students are not achieving. That's the bottom line. We have 70% of third graders not achieving, our high school students. We basically see that everybody is having to do more for less. That's the bottom line. I go into the bank and I see more people in the bank with unemployment checks than any other kind of checks. So the bottom line is that we have got to stop all of the rhetoric and get down to the business at hand. I don't even want to tell people how much I make because it's an embarrassment. But I still do the job, okay? And it's helping students to achieve who are so low performing, so it's pathetic. They get to high school and they don't even know the difference between a double space, a paragraph. They think it's supposed to be, I had a student tell me today that she thought that double spacing was between words. Let's get real and let's get down to business of educating our children and stop all the adult talking. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Tanya Kapner again. I think a lot of people have made the really excellent points against imposition already that I wanted to make, but I just wanted to reiterate a couple of key things, which is what Wazicki said, that education is a civil right. This is a question of our students' future, and we are prepared to walk the walk. We're not up here just to talk. We're up here to say we're going to be on those lines next Thursday. And we're up here to say to everybody watching, please come out and join us bright and early next Thursday, because we have an opportunity here in Oakland to turn this around, to actually serve the Black, Latino, and Asian, and poor white kids and all the students of our community with better education conditions, because our work conditions as the teachers are the students' education conditions, because the future of public education, and if it's going to be degraded and degraded and degraded to the point that these schools are shut down like they're doing in city after city, and the only quote-unquote choice is a second-rate charter school, some cities are funding them by Walmart now. Work readiness programs in Detroit schools from Walmart? I don't think so. That's not Oakland. Oakland stood up March 4th. Oakland's standing up next Thursday. Oakland's going to unite to be the city that turns this around. We know that we can get a good contract, and that if we get a good contract, we can improve education, and that we improve education here, we're going to set a precedent for this whole nation, for every student's right. We know that students are building a new movement, as was referred to by the gentleman earlier. The students across this state have been standing up at the colleges, at the high schools, against the education cutbacks. We're prepared to stand with that and move forward with this community. We put it to the board, where do you stand? Are you going to force cuts? Are you going to degrade education? Or are you going to stand with this community for public education?
Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Linda Smith. I'm the parent, and I'm the office manager of the OEA under the leadership of our proud president, Betty Olson Jones. I'm here to speak as a parent in the community, and I do live in Oakland. I attended public schools, and I couldn't be where I'm at right now without public school teachers. You know, I don't think I did too bad. I think I'm pretty good. So I thank the teachers for that, public teachers. I'm the mother of three African-American black men. I was here Saturday and I heard the superintendent and the board speaking about the African-American black men and how their test scores were low and this and that. Well, I can say I have three of them, and I'm very, very proud of my sons. And they too went to public school. And I never had to go to jail to pick them up. I never had to go to the drug house to get them out. And that's because of the home they were in and the public school teachers. Couldn't have did it without the teachers. And I just thank, you know, I'm thanking the teachers for that, and I'm here to support them. Let's see here. I have a son that graduated from San Jose State, so public school did him very well. He got a full scholarship to go to San Jose State. Right now, he is a photographer and a film screenwriter major. So, you know, public schools, I heard someone up here say something about public schools that up there on the board, that they were open product. Well, that's embarrassing. If I had kids now, I would never want to see one of my kids to hear that. Because you guys are supposed to hear for the teachers and for the students. I have a niece at Emeryville too, and she wants to be a teacher. And I'm like, and I know you came from Emeryville too. And she said, I really want to teach. I really want to. Her name is Lee Mae Johnson. I will. And she, I'm almost too embarrassed to tell her, no, I don't want you to teach because there's no money and there's no respect to
the teacher. Please wrap up, Mr. Smith. Speaker, please.
Contrary to some of the sentiments on the board, apparently I believe in public education, how vital it is. My name, by the way, is Mike Fulton. I'm a member of the public in Oakland and a friend of many OEA and non-OEA teachers. And I've lent my ear a lot to their concerns, and their grievances are many, but they have some very reasonable demands. And I think that you need to stop the attacks, the cuts, and don't follow through on this imposition. I think by now you know it's going to be a mess. We don't need to deal with this mess. We need to get back to education. And someone up here earlier said that public education is a civil right. Well, I'd like to take it a step further and say that quality public education is a civil right. So make sure that we ensure that.
Thank you very much.
My name is Katya Dunklin. I'm a second grade teacher at Learning Without Limits School. I'm a little bit nervous. You guys might not believe this, but I actually didn't get into teaching for the money. And quite frankly, the insinuation that we're only in this and we're only talking about money is really, really insulting.
Yeah.
I could get, you know, $50,000 more hopping to a different profession like that. I went to an excellent school. I went to an excellent college. I really do have a choice to go somewhere else, and to make the assumption that I'm stuck here and I'm just wanting money and wanting, you know, things for myself. I am here because I feel like I'm doing something for my community, and I'm taking care of more than my own. I'm taking care of my community, their children, my families. And I'm going to talk a little bit, I'm not going to talk about the money. I'm going to read something. So my whole life I wanted to be a teacher, and was often warned by family members, just like you're warning your niece, not to be one because of the challenges faced, low pay, long hours, and sometimes disrespect. I knew I was going to get low pay. I knew I was going to work long hours, but I never thought that the disrespect that I was going to receive was from my district and my board. My parents respect me, my kids respect me, and right now that's doing the job, but I'm about to hit that 3-year in Oakland mark, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to be taking it. I'm tired of coming into OUSD. I'm tired of coming into OUSD because my check isn't on time and my check amount is wrong. I'm tired of the nuanced comments about how Oakland teachers can't teach English grammar or anything. I am a very good teacher. I went to school to be a good teacher. I've worked out a lot of money. I've had excellent mentors in this district.
Could you please wrap up?
Oh, I will. Like I said, I'm not expecting high pay, but when you refuse to negotiate on a single issue, not even pay.
Wrap up.
I'm wrapping up. I'm wrapping it up. Yeah. So now I'm going to re-get my thought. When you refuse to negotiate on a single issue, or give teachers their voice, you are asking us to find other jobs. We will not have choice for very long to stay in this district.
Thank you very much.
David,
would you say it again, please?
David Camarata.
Is that person here?
Okay.
Is there anybody else who submitted a card who has not been called? Please come up. Okay.
Good evening, everybody. I just want to let y'all know I'm really nervous. My name is David Camarata. Right now, I'm a resource specialist at Oakland Tech High School. I started teaching in the district. I was a first through third special day class teacher for students with non-severe handicaps at Think College Now Elementary School the last 3 years. And I'm just really nervous. These are big times. And I'm going to take my time to do something that I talk to a lot of my students in my SBC class about, and I'm going to take a deep breath. And I'm going to hope that everybody in this room does it with me. Because it's time for us to stop. And let's think about what we're doing. Let's just think about it. Okay, let me take my deep breath. These are big times. What we're going to begin into Thursday, I'm going to strike. But I don't want to. I mean, I want to, and I'm going to do it, and I'm proud to be doing it, because what we're talking about here today, and what we're talking about, it's wrong. Our kids deserve better. And I'm going to say that right now. Our kids deserve better. And I'm going to request that my 15 seconds is let it roll, because our kids deserve better. So, do what you do. But our kids deserve better. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Rickstraw?
I have no other cards on the side.
Okay, thank you. And I want to thank each and every speaker for the thoughtfulness and the clarity of their position. I'd like to now open the floor for discussion among my colleagues on the floor. Student Director Adams? I'd like to start with 3 minutes for each board member in that discussion, and we can go around a second time and a third time.
I apologize for being late. So I didn't find out about this meeting until yesterday, and I had to prioritize because I'm doing a permaculture project over right across from Horace Mann. So I was like, look, got to get the meeting early. And I was like, sweet, I can come to this. But I just want to remind you guys that this, you know, where my black comes in. I just want to remind you guys that when two elephants fight, like it's the grass that gets trampled. And in this instance, it's the district and it's the teachers union and the grass is the kids. And that on...
We are the grass.
We're the grass. I'm trying to make it now.
Go ahead, Mr. Adams.
So we're fighting about money, right? And money is the root of all evil. This is just true.
Mr. Adams, would you like to comment to the president, please?
Well, okay, I'm just saying. So we're fighting over this contract, and I don't even know the ins and outs of it, and I would really love to read it, but it really sounds like we're kind of fighting about money, and if we're not fighting about money, that'd be great. I don't know. I would love for one of you to answer that question. Oh, thank you. I would love for one of you to answer that question for me. But I really just want to get some clarity on why we sound like me and my sister when we fight. I really feel like there's a suitable agreement we can come to between us. Like, we're all adults here, right? Well, I'm not legal till, you know, May 15th, but we're all adults here. We're all, like, conscious adults here. And we can talk about this in a good way, right?
Director Adams, please direct your comments this way.
So, again, can I actually, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask for the rest of my time. Can someone explain to me the process that's gone on since maybe? I don't know. I'm sorry.
You don't have to guess. We can come back for you. Director Adams, just direct your comments here, if that's your request.
General Counsel Minor. Could you briefly summarize the presentation you did about the negotiations from beginning to the present? That's okay. Director Adams, would you like Ms. Minor to review that? I'm prepared to do that. Ms. Minor, are you prepared to do that?
Student Director Adams, we are at what is called second impasse. Second impasse occurs when the parties let me back up for a minute. The process involves a fact-finding report that was issued in April, on April 13th of this year. Under state law, after that fact-finding report is issued, the parties at least one more time must meet and to determine if there is a basis for settlement. That meeting occurred in the superintendent's office on Friday the 16th. During that meeting, the superintendent asked the representatives of OEA if they were prepared to accept the district's last, best, and final offer, which was the offer of December 09. OEA responded no. At that point, we have moved forward to where we are now, which is a decision that must be made in a public meeting by this board as to whether or not the board wants to unilaterally implement its last, best, and final offer, and that is, again, the offer from December 09.
And Director Adams, that report is listed in the documents with the agenda for this meeting. So that's probably what Mr. Stan is referring to, right to your left. Okay. Do you have any final comments? Because you're, yes.
That doesn't sound very fair.
Okay. Okay. All right. Are there any other board members who would like to discuss? Mr. Director Giles.
Yes. Let me first say that I really appreciate all of you being here this evening.
Thank you.
And I have raised my four children in the open public schools from elementary to high school, and I can tell you that I'm really honored and appreciated all the work that you have done. But the discussion that we have today is a serious one. And I think we're at a different time, at a different place, and with a different future. And I think we all have to recognize that and accept that. And that's just the way it is. It's real. And I know that we may not want to accept the economic condition of this school district, but it's real. You know, in the last 2 years, we cut over $40 million. That's significant. Next year alone, we have to deal with $85 million. Not 25, but up to $85 million. By the year 2012, we're looking at maybe $100 million. And by the year 2012, most likely we will not have the reserves we have today. So those are serious discussions that we have to have as a district, and because I do not want this district to go bankrupt once more. Now in terms of do I believe in teacher compensation, I absolutely do. Do I believe that the classroom is the most important place for my kids to learn? I do that, and I have struck with you,
I have joined you on the 29th day strike when none of the board members else went out on that. I joined you at the last one with Ben. I supported working with Randy Ward. And I can tell you how that was settled. It wasn't settled here. It was settled somewhere else. And that's the reality. Now, the issue, I'm willing to go out for another parcel type. I went out on a parcel type where OEA opposed it. You would add $11 million extra dollars per year for the next 10 years, specifically for your salary.
What about
all right? But no, let me finish. And we talk about respect. I have given my respect with my kids enrolling in your schools. And I'm willing to continue to support you, but then respect goes both ways. What I want to see in a contract, we spend, 165? We spend 37 sessions in 2 years, 165 hours over 15 months negotiating. But you know what? Every time I would get a report back, I never heard about student achievement. I never heard about the unrepresented kids that we have, and yes, they happen to be black and brown. Nobody talked about that. But you know what? We're at a different time. And you can shake all your own heads if you want to, but the customer and the parent that we have today is not the parent of yesterday. That's why you have the charter schools in competition. And I just went through an experience at Lazier Elementary School. And this, it's just not at Lazier Elementary School. It happens at Oakland High School, and it's happening in other schools. Our parents want and deserve the best, and they're willing to pay for it. But we have to perform and demonstrate professional behavior at all levels, specifically at the elementary school levels. Because if you don't believe me, you look at all the kids that we lose in the middle schools. You look at all the kids that we lose at the high school, especially at the ninth grade level.
Mr. Geyer, you're coming up on 4 minutes. You're coming up on 44
minutes.
Okay,
let me finish my point. All right? Anyone else wants me to wrap up? Let me finish then. I respect that everyone's speaking. So the bottom line for me is this, that I'm willing to work with you. This effort that we're going through this evening financially, we have no choice, but we do want to continue and reopen to negotiate. And believe me, I'll work tomorrow with you in terms of raising the salaries, but I do not believe in a teacher strike on the 29th because we're not going to go anywhere as a community being unified and working together. Every problem, if viewed from the correct perspective, is also an opportunity. And we need to make this an opportunity and come together and make Oakland a better place.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Are there any other comments? Director Spearman, 3 minutes, please.
I'm really going to try, President Yee, thank you. And I want to say to the teachers, first of all, I'm a product of Oakland Unified School District. I'm a school here. I started my relationship with Oakland Unified School District in 1958, and it's almost been continuous. We had our 40th year at reunion from Castlemont High School. It was actually 41, but we called it 40 from when I left. My two daughters are a product of Oakland Unified School District. I have two granddaughters currently who live in my house, leave my house every day, come back every day, that are in Oakland Unified School District, secondary school, and I'm kind of not happy right now about some of the things that are going on. I'm here because of necessity, because I was a parent in this district that didn't like what was going on. And so to affect what's going on in this school district, you got to affect policy. That's what I was taught when I came through school. So I agree that teachers, along with all the rest of our employees in this school district, deserve a raise. And I value all of our employees because most of our employees, whether you know it or not, are people that grew up in Oakland, went to school in Oakland, raised their children in Oakland, and raising their grandchildren in Oakland. But I don't see them out here hollering about a raise, and they haven't gotten any kind of increase for a long time. We must say that. We must say that. But they're in solidarity with you.
Thank you.
That's right.
But they haven't got a raise. I think the teachers union got raises, but since they haven't gotten any raise. They're worse than the board. The board just got a $37 raise in 16 years. Okay? It brings my monthly income to $720.32. Now, I think that's much less than a teacher.
How many hours?
Okay. And if my husband hadn't died and I had a pension, I'd be up a pickle, wouldn't I? So, the financial status of this district is very, very fragile. Very fragile. And I think we need to look at and do some reorganization of our priorities in this district. And this got to be some serious, there got to be some serious changes in the way we do business to ensure the continuance of public education here in this city. Because if we don't, you won't have any children here to be teaching. Or you'll be in the charter schools and you'll be working for whatever they say to work for. And trust me, they're not going to take too much of this hollering and the screaming. You'll just be in the unemployment line. So I want you to know that after 2 years of bargaining and negotiating and carrying on, that's 2 years. This process got to stop. We got to end it so we can move forward and do the business of educating, talking about how we can compensate each other, how we can live better, how we can start educating these children in this district. Because I'm not willing for this district to go back under state authority no more. No more. So we got to do what we have to do. And I have been very, very agreeable and nice. You know, we have not been disrespectful. And folks need to understand, there's always two sides. This is the first time in my life that I've been on the other side of the table as far as negotiations. I'm a union family. Husband was a union president, president for years. My mother was a teacher, and I'm raised in a family of educators. So it's not that I don't know, I don't empathize, but I'm going to tell you, and I stood on the picket line with you guys before, even when we went into state receivership, because I didn't have a moment of it.
Thank you, Director Sperman. The reason I'm checking with General Counsel Minor, I'd like to have her for the record.
President Yee, if I could just make one comment through the chair for the members of the board. I just want to urge the board members to limit your comments on this agenda item. There is a third agenda item that is there that's called Next Steps that will give you an opportunity to comment more specifically on your areas of interest and concerns as we go forward, but I would urge the board to limit their comments on this matter, item two, because item two is a statutory matter that needs to be completed.
Right. Thank you, and I apologize for interrupting Director Guile and Director Spearman, but I was getting that caution from my legal counsel.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I apologize too. Director London, 3 minutes.
I'm not going to need 3 minutes. I just wanted to, I know that there's always a tendency when the item you're here for is voted on to then leave because you're done. And I want to urge you all to stay for the third item because I'm going to reserve the bulk of my remarks for there, and I think the rest of us are as well. And that would be my request of you. We've listened to you, and I think we have a lot that we want to say to you, but we're saving a lot of that for the third item.
Thank you very much. Has any of my other colleagues, Vice President Duffin?
Yeah.
3 minutes.
Yeah, thank you, President. Yeah, this is the toughest issue I've got to deal with the school board. And as a young
brought up. I've had some tough issues on the school board. You know, like Director Spearman was saying, you know, I grew up in Oakland and went to all the school, all public schools. Grandfather, I've said this numerous times. Grandfather taught at Castlemont, mom taught 35 years in Oakland. I taught over a 10-year period. You know, on this side, because at 96, that was my first year teaching, so I got on the line and stayed out as well, didn't cross the line. And it's tough on this side, because the reality situation, we don't want to go back and stay receivership. Now, we hired a superintendent to run the district. He knows infinitely more with his team about the financial situation that we're facing. And that's why this is such a serious issue, such a, you know, very difficult issue. I think maybe like Director Lennon said, and also our council said, majority of our comments were reserved for after, but, you know, we've been hearing a lot of things about the consultant contracts, about, you know, the small schools, you know, this board. My predecessor, Mr. Dan Siegel, one of the great legal minds of our era, one of the great school minds of our era, and he was real big on the small school movement. And while we want to support the small schools, and in District 6, half my small schools are doing fairly well, and they support a lot of these changes. But unfortunately, they're cost intensive, and that's where the balance is. And so it's very frustrating. You know, I love Mr. Mordecai because he comes to every board meeting and he really talks about the consent agenda. And a lot of these consultant contracts are out of our small schools. Those folks are making those decisions to hire those people. But I'd like them to all be open for folks, of course. I'm very excited by hearing the next steps, because I want to hopefully see that we can get a lot of that money to our OA staff. Like I did, when I was a teacher, I worked in different programs, to do after-school programs with the school, district. You know, and I wasn't paid by Oakland Unified, but my position as a teacher, as being able to work with a number of middle school students, being a coach, was able to get outside money. And that's where I view a lot of this stuff can go. I also want to finally thank Mrs. Nilasati. One of the best teachers I ever had. My first grade teacher. You can't tell she looked so young, to teach me, but it was her first or second year teaching at Carl Munk, and she really pointed me in the right direction, I think. And so I want to thank the person who's still beside me. So, thank you.
Director Katsura?
So maybe just a couple of things. First is, the fact-finding report was, in my opinion, very stunning about its outright declaration that the deep-seated mistrust between the district and OEA is, while the term wasn't used, I think the inference is that it's cancerous and that it is has the potential of has the potential of being the biggest challenge of ever getting anything really good and long-lasting done in the district. While negotiations have been going on for almost 2 years, I've spent almost 18 months trying to broker a coalition in this city to pass to get a parcel tax on the ballot. Building off of or going after Measure N, but to do something that's a little bit more equitable to property owners here, and to generate anywhere from $20 to $25 million that would go into teacher and other employee compensation. And we get stuck on the same issue. And we, on one hand, have made a lot of progress because I think we've had a lot of frank conversations and airing of views in ways that are outside of the context of the public arena here. But concretely, have we concretely made the move to get $20 to $25 million? No, we've got a ways to go. And so I'm still trying to make this happen. And the distrust factor is, you know, when myself and Gary were sworn into office 8 years ago, we go to Sacramento to testify about getting a loan without a state administrator. Your leadership at that time spoke in front of the Senate Education Committee and called for a state receivership.
Against the vote of the union.
Against the vote of the union, but nevertheless we're talking about trust. And so when you've got a bifurcated message going on, you don't know who to trust. Your leadership also did not support, it was neutral, the group was neutral, on a ballot measure 2 years ago called Measure OO, the largest children's services initiative in the city of Oakland that would double the size of money, city monies, going to children and youth services based on not a tax, but a reordering of city hall priorities. Your leadership did not support that measure. And yet, I'm saying this not with any bias or with any prejudice, that it is what it is. But I am committed, I believe this board and superintendent is committed to doing the right thing with your leadership, with your membership. But we do have to expose and get real underneath about how do we build trust in a principled way based on concrete actions and not on words. And I know that you will also be measuring this board's level of sincerity and authenticity based on the vote that we will make in just about a couple of minutes. But I do not make, whatever vote I make tonight is not on the basis of how do I screw teachers. I am making a decision based on how I believe we can be most, in the most strategic way to be able to work together and to be able to address the issues very concretely. I want us to do, I want...
You're coming up on 4 minutes, Mr. Cappuccino.
Okay, thank you. Actually, what I want, I will reserve for the next item. But let me, I just want to just reiterate.
Can you reserve it, Mr. Takashiba, and wrap it up?
You can take
one.
Okay.
No, we don't.
All right, no, I'm done. Go ahead.
Thank you, Director Takashiba. Director Hodge?
I wish I could do telepathy and know what you were about to say, Director Takashiba, because I really agree with so much of what you had to say. So this is, I still claim newbie-ness in terms of being on this side of it. And so what's important and what's critical right now? And some of that is the fact that the vote that we take, the decisions that we make tonight aren't about a distrust or a dislike or a disrespect for our teachers. And I think that it's very difficult to work in an environment with folks that actually feel as though you have some malintent. So this is a board that has been working towards really talking about changing the culture inside this district so that more than really what 54% of the kids in Oakland will actually attend the schools here, that more than 50% of African American boys will actually graduate. So I know the work of my colleagues. I know the work of teachers, I know the work of principals, I know the work of the administrators, and this issue of mistrust, we've definitely got to take it up. And I believe that we do have leadership and the best superintendent in the country that's going to actually help guide us in that direction. And it's going to take many of us growing up, maturing, and working really very, very different. Because I don't think, I know as Director Spearman taught, I didn't come sit in this space, in this seat, for money either. Let me be really clear. And at this particular juncture, it's not even about any status particularly, but it's about how do we make some systemic changes? How do we change a system that has, as we talked about, structural issues and problems? And as we bump up against this contract, it all falls out. When we start shaking it, we see the structural issues. We see the structural racism. we see the problems inside of our district when we start talking about this contract and we start talking about, well, when we don't not always talk about student achievement. So what I don't understand is, as we sit in an economy that's struggling, why it is that we are not really putting our heads together in a different kind of way. And so as we talk about next steps, I'm excited about that point. I'm excited about the leadership and support the leadership to do something different, because we can't do 2 years worth of negotiation. It is a distraction. One teacher talked about being tired. She should be tired. She should be tired. She should be happily tired to teach her children, but not tired from the politics and the rhetoric. We need to do something very, very different. So I appreciate the leadership of this board and the comments that all of you all have said, that this is hard and it is difficult. And to the president, thank you for your leadership tonight.
Thank you. And I wanted to give every board member an opportunity to do a final minute, and then I'll give my final remarks. Is there anybody who another minute? Okay. Well, my final comments are something like this. 35 years ago, I started teaching in the Oakland Public Schools, and the first day I taught, I was on strike, in the first strike of the Oakland Public Schools. Fast forward several years, I became the teacher of one of the speakers here at Cleveland Elementary School, not of the of one of the students who was a child of one of the speakers here at my school. I've been the teacher of some of the speakers who are here, and one of the speakers here was the very first teacher I had to sign my petition to become a member of the school board 3 years ago. I don't take this responsibility lightly, and I'm prepared to be held accountable to the decisions I've made in these 7.5 years. And I think that's the democratic process, and I really appreciate the opportunity to do that. I do also agree that this is a time to actually move forward, and we believe that we have done the best we could with the facts and the choices I've had to make in terms of my vote. And so, and I also had the privilege of teaching with several of the people in this audience who I consider colleagues and who I address in the email as a colleague. So we have very limited, narrow choices, as you do. You don't have the choice of whether or not to speak out and fight for your rights any more than I did 35 years ago. You have to do what you need to do, and we need to do what we are elected to do. And with that, I'd like to, if there's no desire to continue the debate, I'd like to call a question.
On the roll call on the pending motion, Director Spearman?
Yes.
Director Lovis?
Yes.
Director Hodge?
Yes.
Director Gaio?
Yes.
Director Kakashiva?
Yes.
Vice President Dobbins?
Yes.
President Yi?
Yes.
Motion adopted.
Shame on you! Shame! 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 On you! Shame on you!
At the request of Dr. Spearman, I'd like to call a 5-minute recess.
Shame on you! Shame on all of you! How dare you do this? You have been voted by the people of Oakland.
April 29th's got to be our focus, but especially if you're at a strong school, do plant the seed. April 29th might not be the end of it. That might not be the last day. Plant that seed. There might be other days.